This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. An important chorus, teaching the teachings of Christ. Let's bow in silent prayer and ask God to apply this to our own lives. Let your light so shine. This is from Matthew 5:16. Christ himself speaking, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I wanted to start by defining the words. Let your light so. This word so means thus, in this manner. Here's how I want you to let your light shine. The word shine is an aorist command, a past tense command. And the meaning comes out, it's pictured as a one-time work. Get to the place where you settle on this concept, you see, and let your light shine. Your light, then, is the general word for any light at all. This doesn't have to be spectacular, your light. I've told you the story that made such an impression on me. When I was with my family I don't remember how old I was, but in school, we went down to Mammoth Cave. Down there, I hadn't recognized that for the most part, even indoors, sunlight in the middle of the day, sunlight just shines in. I've seen photograph of a wooden door closed, and they turned up the sensitivity to light, and you could see it was like the door was nearly transparent, translucent anyway. The thing is, light filters through wood doors. Down there, through several feet of earth, no light shines through. So the fellow was going to give us the picture of what absolute blackness was, and he turned off all the lights. He prepared us and then turned off all the lights. And I was doing all the silly things. I opened my eyes wide and moving my hand back and forth, and there was no hint of anything at all. And he kept talking to reassure us that he was still there. and then he lit a match. And it was remarkable because the light of one match in this rather, I suppose, not as long as this room, but as wide as this room, and the walls were shiny, perhaps damp, I don't know. But you could see the light shining, glistening off these walls. You could see every person in the room just from the light of one match. And so the thing is, we live in a dark world. And this is why he wants our light to shine. It doesn't have to be a great light. It can be, and perhaps ought to be. And this before men, this is literally in front of the men, meaning revealing all the good works. This is that concept that he's making for us here that we might want to think about and correct our thinking. We go back to the Sermon on the Mount that Christ is at, and he has said in this, don't do your good works before men to be seen of men. Now, he's not talking about don't do it where anybody can see. He's saying don't do it to be seen, you see. That's the hypocrite. That's the actor. That's the actress, doing it just to be seen, doing it for human applause. Here he says, sort of balancing that idea, do it before men that they might see. This is the idea of perception, and just perception in general, principally from vision. Most of our perception comes from what we see, but the prominence being in the mental element, that they understand, they perceive your good works, you see, and your good works. There's several words for good. This is the word for good, meaning the beautiful, commendable works that you do. The lovely things that you do. The caring things, you see. The good works that are beautiful and commendable. And glorify your Father. Glorify that they might improve their opinion. At the beginning, the word glorify meant opinion. And to glory someone was to have an opinion of them. And if I glorify someone else, what I'm doing is seeking to improve your opinion of that one, the one I'm glorifying. And that's what we're doing here. We want people to think well of God because we're doing what we're doing because of Him. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your glory is redirected to our Father. You did a wonderful thing. I did it to honor my Father, God. Redirected to our Father, the in the heavens one. We have earthly fathers. We have people that we might claim as fathers of some kind. But this is the in the heavens one. And we only have one there. The idea then, defining the words, let's go to defining the options. Consider Jesus talking about this. Jesus brought the light of truth. The Bible had already been given. God had worked through perhaps Job and through Moses. We had the Word of God, but frankly, God's purpose in all of that was to introduce things to the nation of Israel, to have them be a light to the rest of the world. Christ came with a little different idea. Matthew 4, 13 to 16, leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, that's the Sea of Galilee, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim. Those were names going back to the tribes of Israel. That it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The Hebrew is Galilah, district of the Gentiles, Galilah Hagoyim, Galilee. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. The prophecy from Isaiah was fulfilled by Christ, spending a lot of time. He was raised in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, but raised in Nazareth, and then did much of his ministry work in the areas of around Capernaum. John 1, 4, 5, and 9, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. His life, as we observe it, opened up a light to us. We could see things the way they really are. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or did not admit or receive it not, or did receive it not. That was the true light. Jesus Christ was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I was just stunned by the fact that it says that the light of Christ lights every man that cometh into the world. That's every baby born, you see. I don't know exactly how that happens, but the very fact of being born into this world somehow gives them the light of Christ. God giving people an edge over the darkness. They could see if they chose. In John chapter 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, notice that limitation. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. We are abiding in darkness until we see and receive and admit his light. So, the beginning of this picture of our light shining starts with Jesus Christ being the light of the world. In the natural world, we see that there is the sun, and then in the middle of the night, we have the moon. You can imagine a bright full moon. Yet we find that the moon does not actually give its own light, but only reflects the light of the sun. So we come now to point B, believers may reflect the light of Jesus. Matthew 5:14-16. Here he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You put a city on the hill, it's going to take a lot of umbrellas, you know, take something, big awnings to hide that. He says, a city with all of its lights can't be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No. That's what you see. But on a candlestick, you lift it up where it's not hidden by the boxes around the candle. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The purpose then is not for applause, that they will see me, but they will see me as a product of God's work, and they will glorify God. So believers may reflect the light. Point C, believers should watch out to reflect Christ's light. Let's be careful in this work, because it is a situation where we might tend to say, yes, yes, I'm a great person. On the other hand, we may say, oh, I don't want people noticing me. And to that degree, we've made a mistake. Listen to what he says in Luke 8:16-18. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed. Sounds dangerous. Anyway, it doesn't. But setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. Take heed, you see, beware, take care, take heed, therefore, how ye hear what I'm telling you. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have, or thinks that he has. Let's not misuse what God gives us. We have the ability to reflect the light of Christ and glorify God. If we misuse that, that's taken away from us. Not everyone who has heard the gospel has obeyed the gospel. Okay? Not everybody that shows up in church is actually saved. Sometimes those are visitors, sometimes those are children that haven't been saved yet. Sometimes they're people who have thought they were saved and mistaken. We were just hearing on Wednesday Brother Martin saying that he was already a preacher in a church before it dawned on him he just really hadn't been saved. Those who receive the light of Jesus will display the light of Jesus. Those who have not received it can only display their own darkness. Titus 1:15-16. What a horrible passage here. Not a horrible passage. It's a passage that illustrates a great truth, but a sad truth. And Paul is writing, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Pastor Porter once took us through a series on sin, and he pointed out that at the essence, sin is not the things that we do that are wrong, but the heart attitude that directs us to do that. So he said sin is actually anything we do that comes from the heart of unbelief. This is why Proverbs says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. The righteousness, the sacrifices are sin. How could sacrifices be sin when God described them, told them to do that? Because he says they're wicked. What comes from a wicked heart is sinful. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto the that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. To have a defiled mind is to take in the good, but see evil in it. They profess that they know God. See, these are professing believers. These are people who say, I'm a Christian. But in works, they deny him. To deny him is to be, you know, an unbeliever, to be an atheist. These are practical atheists. The way they live, they're denying him. And how do they deny him? Not with their words, but by being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate, completely incapable. You see. Every good work that they have the opportunity to do, they do not have a mind capable of understanding it. So, you and I need to take heed, as he said, to show the good works that come from God. We could go to look at the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruit of the Spirit. This happens not because we're working hard. A tree doesn't have to work hard to bear fruit. It just does it because that's who it is, what it is. You and I need to make sure that we have the ability in our heart to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Well, let's look at the third thought, and that is defining actions of darkness. With this, we'll close, and this is, I suppose, not a good way to close, but here is a list of sins. We are in a day when you can mention any of the most horrible sins, and at any time, some psychiatrist, some sociologist will get on TV and say why it's not bad and why it's actually good. There will be defense for every bad thing that can be possibly done. But let me ask you just to set aside the thoughts of men. Let me ask you to actually bow before God Almighty and listen to what He says is sin. A little checklist for us to check our lives against. First is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He's saying not everybody goes to heaven just because they say, I like Jesus. He says, if they are not righteous, they're not saved. Be not deceived. We often are. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, this is the immoral people, idolaters, people who worship something other than God, nor adulterers, this is those who are unfaithful in marriage, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. These are the two sides of homosexuality. Whether you have men or women being homosexuals, one becomes the male part, one becomes the female part. The effeminate and then the abuser of themselves. These are the technical Greek terms for the two sides of homosexuality. He says, if they're practicing that, they're not saved. Nor thieves, covetous. These are people that, if wishes were actions, they would be thieves, you see. Nor drunkards, becoming drunk. Nor revilers. This is a giver of scornful speech. Just telling people off. That's a reviler. Nor extortioners. This is one who takes by force. Now, sometimes that's mental force, it's coercive force. Sometimes it's a gun or a knife. None of these, he says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. You see, it's not might, could be. He says, if they're practicing this, this is the concept behind it. If this is the characteristic of their life, they are not saved. We need to be showing our light to show the contrast. Two other passages, both in Ephesians 4, 29 and 32, he counsels the Christian, let no corrupt communication, corrupt is rottenness. Your communication is what you say. Don't be speaking rotten words. Don't let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What should you? But that which is good to the use of edifying. If you're feeding people's ears with corrupt words, you're not helping them, and you're showing that you are unsaved. We should be measuring our words so that they contribute something to the person that's hearing them. Building them up, edifying. Good to the use of edifying. Help them up. Help them along. That, and here's the key, that it might minister grace unto the hearers. Tearing them down, Jesus said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But he said, you don't even call people demeaning names. You don't say, you fool. Why? This is killing their spirit. This is turning them down, driving them down. We ought to be for life, not anti-life. Minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And you remember the Christian has the Holy Spirit of God living within his heart, hearing everything you say, even in your mind. Understanding every thought of why you say what you say. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So don't grieve him with the words you're saying. He's talking about bitter words now. Let all bitterness, this is where you are upset with people and are bitter against them, not forgiving. And wrath and anger and clamor, which is shouting coarsely, and evil speaking. This is speaking evil of people. This is a blasphemy. But not just against God, about people. Be put away from you with all malice, with all desire to injure. You think about that in your life? Anything you do or say that is desiring to hurt. He says, put it away. That's not for us. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And I remember actually coming to this verse one of the first times I was reading through it. And I said, but sometimes I don't want to forgive these people. And then I went back to the verse, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, that's right. He forgave me when I certainly did not deserve it. So will I then forgive others, even when they don't deserve it. Because that's who I am. And then in Ephesians 5, verses 3 to 8, he gives us another list. But fornication, this is all kinds of immorality, and all uncleanness. This is the kind of thing that just goes together with immorality. I would lump pornography, and there's literature that's pornography, as well as photography, or covetousness. This is where you constantly desire more and more. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Saint is not somebody who has done miraculous works, just a believer, a person who's been made holy by God. And what fits a saint? What becomes a saint? Good things, holy things, the light of Christ shining. Then he goes on, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, And this doesn't mean you can't have any humor, because he describes the jesting, these things which are not convenient. The word means not fit. It's not fit for a Christian. It's not fit for one who should be building people up. But rather giving of thanks. Find a way to couch your words around the whole concept of giving thanks. That's the heart purpose as you speak. Were you going to bring up a subject to somebody? Talk about how bad that person was or how stupid this other person is. Instead, what can you give thanks for? What can you give thanks for? For this ye know, no guesswork here, that no whoremonger, this is a prostitute, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. Covetous makes an idol of things. That's what he says here. Covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ and of God. That means they're not saved. Not saved. Let no man deceive you with vain words, saying, oh, well, if salvation is by grace, you can do and live any way you want. Not according to this, not according to what God says. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, the children of unbelief. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Why should we, children of God, find the pattern of our life from the children of the devil? Be not then partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. Back in the past, you were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How would children of light walk? See? They wouldn't be groveling in the dark. They wouldn't be hiding in the corners. They would live a life that will bring glory to God. And when asked about why you're like that, why are you smiling? Why are you happy? Don't you know what's going on in the world? Oh, yes, I do. But I also know who's in final control. And so I see a sunset, and I say, thank you, God, for showing this to me today. See? Let's bow for prayer. Father, you've given us an object lesson of light. In the beginning, you said, let there be light. And so the first great lesson that you had for us is the division between light and darkness. As darkness obscures and people can't see the way things are, when the light shines, then reality dawns upon us. I pray, Father, that you might give us then this holy goal to do the things that you've told us, to be the kind person, the commendable person of doing commendable works, and then let people see that, to take, to claim those works, to let people know that it was us who did it. Not that we may get applause, but that we may say, I serve my Lord Jesus Christ. And out of thanks to him for my salvation, I do these things that he's told me to do. I'm trying to live like my Savior. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps you're saying, I try not to call my attention to me at all. Certainly not by bad things, but not even by good things. Well, let's adjust that a bit and say, I will let people know that I did this thing. I will not broadcast it for applause, but to honor the God who told me to do it. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you slip your hand up, say, pray for me. Help me to understand the difference between doing what I do for applause and doing what I do to honor the God who gave me the ability to do good things. Pray for me. Father, we do turn to Thee in prayer and ask that You might help us to fulfill this command of Jesus Christ to His followers, that we will in fact do the good works that You've told us about. We understand them to be good because You've told us about them. And then when people comment on it, we deflect all that glory back to You. So we pray Thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.